Well, good morning. I invite you to find your seats. Had to say that at the last service, too. Welcome to Union Congregational Church, a church in the United Church of Christ, where no matter who you are or where you are on life's journey, you are welcome here. And welcome to this week of Christmas. Exciting and busy week here at the church. So a few reminders of how this week is going to work. Tonight we have our Blue Christmas service at 7 o'clock here in the sanctuary and on Zoom. And if anybody needs a reminder of what that service entails, it's a time where we can name feelings of grief, sadness, and despair that we might be experiencing because of the loss of a loved one, or the loss of a job, or the loss of some sort of whatever, or even just the commercial racket that is so pervasive and feels distracting to the meaning of the season for the rest of us. So if that sounds like you, you are welcome to join us at tonight's Blue Christmas service. And then, of course, Christmas Eve services are at 4 and 7, basically the same service except for the choir sings at 7. And there's no service on Christmas Day. I do need volunteers to light the Christ candle at both of the Christmas Eve services. So if you'd like to light the Advent wreath and Christ candle, please let me know or let Alana know. And then between Christmas and New Year's, things are working a little bit differently in the office because I'll be gone a decent amount between Christmas and New Year's. I'm leading worship on the 28th, but other than that, I'll be spending time with my family and my fiance and all sorts of things. I will be available to you, but I won't be physically in the office. And Alana put her schedule on in the newsletter on Wednesday, and I trust that she'll also put it on Facebook so that if you didn't see the newsletter, you can find it there as well. Becky has an announcement. Is she? Oh, there you are.
Good morning. On behalf of the confirmation students, we wanted to just extend a big, great big thank you for a very successful Giving Tree donations. We served 9 families, which included 15 individual kids, and we raised over $2,000 in gift cards that we were able to present to the Reach Waupun through the school program. So thank you very much.
Yeah, that's wonderful. Thank you, Becky. Anything else?
I have a couple things. But I do need liturgists for the 28th, this coming Sunday. 8:30 and 9:30 services still. I see on the screen and the donation cutoff is the 29th. That's a Monday. Any last minute donations, please give during this time. What else? And I did post my office hours for the next 2 weeks on my door. So
good. All right. Then if there are no other announcements, let's share the peace of Christ with one another. And sort of as an invitation into the theme of today's service, we have a poem by Steve Garness Holmes.
Willing, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife. Matthew 1:20. Mary was nowhere near ready to say yes. And she said yes. Joseph was ready to say no. And he said yes. The Magi had to set a lot aside. Even the shepherds had to get up and go. Faith is not in knowing, but in willingness. Oh, sparkling darkness, you nudge us now and then. You offer openings, often disguised as closures. Give us grace to attend and to say yes. Brother Joseph says, do not be afraid to marry the mystery. A breath prayer. Marry the mystery.
Please stand. Join me for the call to worship. People of God, the angel promises that Jesus is near. The angel calls us to faithfulness. The angel promises salvation. Join me in the unison prayer. Living God, Christ mystery, Spirit of peace, we give you thanks for this holy sensing of your presence. As we take in the peace you offer, may we be a reflection of your light, expanding the sacred knowing of you are here for me into the sacred knowing of you are present for all of us. Amen. Opening hymn is number 183.
This is a hymn that is one of my very favorites, but I also know that it might not be super familiar to everybody. So hymnals are in front of you, of course, and Alana will keep my mic on so that you can be guided by somebody who knows it.
Amen.
and brave with me. Please be seated.
Prayer for transformation and new life. Majestic Redeemer, in these last days before the birth of your Son, we admit that we ask often for a sign. We put you to the test. We beg for miracles, for mercy, for proof of your holy word. We doubt, even as we retell the old stories. We are like Joseph, shamed, questioning, fearful of the truth of Mary's dream, not wanting to be taken as fools for believing in something that seems too precious to be true. We are as afraid as the shepherds in their fields, sometimes as cowardly and cruel as Herod. You have given us the most sacred gift, yet we often lack the faith to accept it. Amen. Words of grace. God's love for us encompasses every doubt and disaster we will imagine. God did not turn from our ancestors when they fell short, and God will not turn from us. Our humanity is not a flaw. It is the gift of the divine, sealed in Emmanuel's humanity. Praise be to God. Amen.
The Vandenberger family.
We gather around the Advent wreath today knowing that we are not perfect, that we all make mistakes and do bad things. Only Jesus obeyed God fully. Jesus helps us to live as God wants us to live. Jesus gives us peace. From Isaiah 9, 6 through 7, a child is born to us, a son is given to us, and authority will be on his shoulders. He will be named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. There will be a vast authority and endless peace for David's throne and for his kingdom, establishing and sustaining it with justice and righteousness now and forever. The zeal of the Lord of heavenly forces will do this. We light this candle to proclaim the coming of the light of God in the world. With the coming of this light, there is peace, for Christ is called the Prince of Peace. Christ's name is also Emmanuel, God with us. The presence of Christ with us gives us peace day by day. Please pray with me. Eternal God, we thank you for that through all the years you have given peace to your people. Help us to have your peace in our lives. We pray that in this Advent season we may, by what we do, show your presence to the sick, to the hungry, and to the lonely, so that they too may have peace. Amen.
Amen. Thank you.
We light a candle for peace, and our world that's longing for peace. We light a candle for peace, and our world that's longing for peace. Holy One, shine.
Many of us look for signs to help us know what to do, or we wish we could have our own personal angel visit us to let us know the right next step. Uncertainty is a fact of life. This seems ever more true. This week we will remember that there is a Christ within us constantly birthing wisdom and a deep knowing if we will but listen with a contemplative heart. Let us seek out quiet in order to hear the voice that brings peace by gently saying, "Do not be afraid." Our first reading is Isaiah 7, 10 through 16. Again, the Lord spoke to Ahaz, saying, "Ask a sign of the Lord your God. Let it be as deep as Sheol or as high as heaven." But Ahaz said, "I will not ask, and I will not put the Lord to test." Then Isaiah said, "Hear then, O house of David, is it too little for you to weary mortals that you weary my God also? Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Look, the young woman is with child and shall bear a son and shall name him Emmanuel. He shall eat curds and honey by the time he knows how to refuse the evil and choose the good. For before the child knows how to refuse the evil and choose the good, the land before those whose two kings you are in dread will be deserted." And our New Testament reading is from Matthew 1:18 through 25. Now the birth of Jesus the Messiah took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found to be pregnant with the Holy Spirit. Her husband Joseph, being a righteous man and unwilling to expose her to public disgrace, planned to divorce her quietly. But just when he had resolved to do this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet. "Look, the virgin shall become pregnant and give birth to a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel, which means God is with us." When Joseph awoke from the sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took her as his wife, but had no marital relations with her until she had given birth to a son, and he named him Jesus. Here end the readings for today. May God bless us as we learn from these holy words. Amen.
Thank you, Rick. Let us pray. God, be in our heads and in our thinking. Be in my voice and in my speaking. Be in our hearts and in our loving. Speak through me or in spite of me for the benefit of your holy word. Amen. So in some ways, it seems ironic that we're lighting the candle of peace on this fourth Sunday of Advent. For so many of us, peace is the last thing that's on our minds or on our hearts, and because sometimes this time of year is stressful. For example, I have been known to start my Christmas shopping on the 21st of December, and I would thank my lucky stars for Amazon Prime and all of those other companies who have these last minute sales. You know, those are for me. Just so everyone is clear about that. But this year, I have a fiance who is a planner, a header. And she insisted that we start our Christmas shopping in October. And so, as a result, our Christmas presents are bought and wrapped and in Nina at my parents' house because they came for choir rehearsal and left here with a big bag of presents for us to open. And she said to me, "Aren't you happier? Aren't you more able to take care of yourself since your Christmas shopping is done now?" And I'm like, "Yeah, I guess you're right. I think you were probably right that we should have started Christmas shopping in October, like you said." Two very important words I have learned in the course of my relationship are "yes, dear." So, but the reality is that far beyond Christmas shopping, which causes stress, there are lots of things in this world that are not peaceful. Some of us dread family gatherings because some people might get a little bit too political at the dinner table, or because of the reality of war around the world, or because of strained family relationships, or all sorts of other ways that discord can seem to prevail. And in fact, both of today's scriptures deal in some way with peace in spite of the chaos that we might experience in our society or in the world. Today, I want to talk about the fact that peace comes when we take a breath and we take a moment and we say yes. And as we prepare our hearts for the coming of Christ this week, the act of saying yes seems very appropriate. I'm going to focus mostly on the gospel text this morning because I've been thinking a lot about dreams and what they mean and what they might challenge us to do. But before I get into that, I just want to remind us that the reason I put that Isaiah reading in there is because it's all as you probably noticed, Rick read a direct quotation from that Isaiah reading. And so the prophecy that they're talking about in the Gospel of Luke is that Isaiah passage, and that Isaiah passage would have been firmly in the heads of these people in the time of the birth of Jesus. So just wanted to draw those historical lines in case you didn't catch that. So a year or so ago, I started a sermon by talking about a dream that I had had where God told me that I was going to have a baby sister and a new puppy. Only one of those things turned out to be true. But God has a funny way sometimes of making you pay attention, because I feel like if God had only said the thing about the baby sister, that maybe I wouldn't have paid attention so well. But I wonder what Joseph might have been thinking about as he lay his head down to go to bed the night before God came to him as an angel in a dream. I wonder if other people around him in his circles were trying to convince him to leave Mary. I wonder how, if he was such a righteous person, if he had been such a loyal partner, how did he find himself in this situation? Truly a chaotic time, and not an easy time to be Joseph. And even in the midst of what would have been a very humiliating time for him, he still was, as the text says, unwilling to expose Mary to public disgrace and planned to divorce her quietly. The commentator Eugene Park reminds us that common practice back then revolved around a very public shaming after infidelity, and points out that despite believing that his betrothed had been unfaithful, he grappled with his emotions and ultimately decided against imposing the very punitive legal punishments for adultery, instead choosing to act with compassion and mercy. Even in the midst of an unfathomable emotional roller coaster for Joseph, he still didn't want Mary to be vilified by their community. So it's pretty obvious that Joseph needs some reassurance and probably a darn good explanation. An angel appears in a dream and says, "Joseph, don't be afraid. This is all part of the plan." The young virgin becomes pregnant and bears a son whom they're supposed to call Emmanuel, which means God is with us. After Joseph wakes up, he does what the angel says and decides to marry Mary anyway, even in the midst of all this. And as Steve Garness Holmes said in his poem earlier, Joseph was ready to say no, and he said yes. But isn't that true for us, sometimes we're called to rest in uncertainty, realizing that God may still be active throughout all the things we're dealing with, even in our anxieties and insecurities, through all of the ways that we feel like this world is falling apart. God is still at work in spite of and even because of those moments. God came to be with us through human flesh to restore the world to better relationship with one another and with God. And today we have the opportunity to prepare our hearts to accept that gift. So maybe it's not so ironic after all that we light the candle of peace today, because maybe peace is what we need the most of all. Whether that peace comes from being a part of God's strange and complicated plan to restore relationships in the world, whether that peace comes from reconciling with others after disagreements, or letting our guards down and letting the Holy Spirit enter into a difficult time in our lives, maybe that's what we need the most. In his book, The Universal Christ, the American Franciscan priest, Richard Rohr, says it this way, quote, "God hides in the depths and is not seen as long as we stay on the surface of anything, even in the depths of our sins," unquote. So what if Joseph had stayed on the surface? What if Joseph had dismissed the angel's message? You know, I can't say that I wouldn't have done the same thing. I can't say that I wouldn't have dismissed the angel's message if the stakes had been similarly high. And Marcia McPhee, who wrote our worship series, goes on to say that just as childbirth comes with pain, our spiritual rebirth with Christ may involve fear and struggle. However, like Joseph, we are encouraged to not be afraid, as true blessings often come when we open ourselves to new solutions for our greatest challenges. Some of us may receive a visitation from an angel of God helping us prepare for something, like God appeared to me saying that I would get a baby sister and that new puppy that never showed up. But not everybody is graced with that kind of gift. Instead, we have the opportunity to do what Joseph did: say yes to God in the midst of a strange time. Because it's not about just what Joseph did. Because Joseph did what he did, the incarnation of more love and compassion came to a world of need. And we have our own work to do in this time and place to bring Jesus into the world. As I say this, I think about our first Advent together 3 years ago. I've heard variations of the same story throughout the time that I've been with you, that you as a congregation needed a leader who would love you and be a strong guide for where your church was going in the future. And in a similar way, I needed a church that would accept that I wasn't always polished and was kind of green sometimes and needed different things than what a congregation typically does for a pastor. But it's because we said yes to each other that we've been able to do some really incredible things. And I'm really excited for all of the ways that we will continue to do so in the future. Because what I've learned in my life is that saying yes to God doesn't come when we're ready. or when it's convenient, but the opportunity to say yes to God can bring us out of our uncertainty and into better relationships and deeper growth. So as you prepare to welcome Christ into your heart this week and into our world, I invite you to think about how God has come to you in the chaos. What might God be preparing your heart for this holiday season? And what message might God be giving you to pay deeper attention to? You are faithful and strong people. You are people who will offer a hand of reconciliation, a heart for hopefulness, and a gift of grace. So together, let's find peace within the messy parts of our lives as we prepare to welcome a child whose presence brings us into deeper love. Let's ensure that the call of God on our hearts actually means something. Let's allow it to guide us in being part of Jesus' arrival in the world. Because we are the hands and feet of Christ. We are the ways that Jesus will come into the world through more peace and more hope and more love and more joy in a time of deep need. May it be so for me. May it be so for you, and may it be so for us all. For all this, I say, thanks be to God. Amen. Our next hymn is number 196, In the Bleak Midwinter. Now we enter a time of more intentional prayer, thinking of the people and situations that need our prayers and our love today. Let's take a few moments of silence to do that. Amen. What joys and concerns do we have to share this morning?
I have one on Zoom.
Okay.
Sandra Champion asks for prayers for her cousin Larry, who has had many complications after heart surgery.
For Larry and for Sandra and for Larry's whole family, God in your mercy. Anything else today? Then let us be in a time of prayer together. Gracious and loving and merciful God, we give you thanks for gathering us together. We give you thanks that you are with us in times of uncertainty, in times of grief, in times of difficulty. And that you tell us to not be afraid. We give you thanks that you empower us to be your hands and feet in the world, telling others that good news. When people are grieving, when people are recovering from surgery, when people are feeling discriminated against, or when people don't know whether they will have enough food to eat or a safe place to lay their heads this holiday season. We know that because of you, incredible and amazing and wonderful things can still happen. Even in the midst of the deepest sorrow. So we ask you to remind us of the peace that you offer through your Son, in whom we pray, our Father, who art in heaven. Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. The time has come to offer our gifts back to God. Here at UCC Waupun, we give thanks for all gifts that are given, whether through time, talent, treasure, or prayer. You may give a gift this morning as the ushers come around with the offering plate, or you may also give online at uccwaupun.net. But however you give, may you do so with peaceful and generous hearts, knowing that the gift you give today benefits not only this church, but also the Church Universal. If it's comfortable for you to do so. please join me in the prayer of dedication. Love and light of the world, we give you thanks for these gifts. We give you thanks for the privilege of generosity. We give you thanks for the ability to share your divine love in a tangible form with all our siblings around the world. Help us to remember as we await Christ's birth, to give more generously than we receive, knowing we will always be rich in your abundant love. Amen. Our final hymn today is number 189, Angels from the Realms of Glory. My friends, receive these words of benediction. When you see lights twinkle, when you catch a reflection in a mirror, when you notice the sunlight dancing on a surface or a nightlight glowing in the darkness, let these be signs that the Christ light is revealed again and again through this world. Know that your brilliant presence is pouring more peace onto a weary world. God loved us by becoming us. This means you are already reflecting the sacred. In the name of the Creator Christ and Spirit of Peace, now may the love of God, the grace of Jesus Christ, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us now and forevermore. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. Amen.